Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast, episode 348, if you're keeping score. Here we talk about everything in the realm of entertainment news, so long as it falls under the geeky umbrella. I'm Justin Kavanagh. With me, as always, is Mr. Randy Van Dyke. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, and I'm nice and dry under that geeky umbrella.
I like it. Nice and dry. But you're not counting alcohol, because then he's wet.
No, I am wet as fuck.
I believe it. Dirty boy. And we also have Mr. David Edmondson. How are you doing today?
Hot damn, am I doing good. And I am awfully wet and awfully moist, because this umbrella is not big enough for me. Justin, how the hell are you?
I'm fabulous. No complaints.
You always say that, but I bet if you thought hard, you probably had one complaint about something.
Well, I mean, there's nothing that I want to bore you guys with.
Oh, thank God. It was one of those rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
Really dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to tell you that I'm really just a sad clown and I'm depressed and I hate myself.
Thanks for not burning us with that. That's,
you're welcome.
You're a real pal.
All right. Always, you know, I give. I'm just a nice guy.
You are.
Yeah. Speaking of nice guys,
I want you to know, if you needed to get something like that off your chest, Randy is here to listen.
There you go. Perfect. While he's doing other things.
Yes.
I don't know if there's ever been a time where we have had Randy's undivided attention. Because the only other times I speak with him is when we're either out doing something or he's driving or on this podcast. So his attention is always elsewhere. It's so weird. He's the only human being that I know that's like that. He's a multitasker. It's crazy.
It's split at best, and I don't even know if I would call it. I think it started as multitasking, and then it just became normal, and now I don't know anything else other than that. Like, I'm staring
at a pilot, a flyer.
I have three monitors in front of me. One is the laptop on which I'm speaking to you guys, and then I have two screens I'm staring at, looking at like work stuff. And
we've never had your undivided attention ever. That's so funny. I'm okay with it. I accept it. I love you for who you are. You're a little busybody, and that's fine. But it's just funny to point out.
All work and no play.
Perfect. I'll take it. Speaking of which...
You're all work and no play.
Yes. Lots of work.
I thought that's what I said, all work and no play.
Yes.
Yeah, David's just having a stroke. He's being crazy. Are you done, Dave? I've been trying to go to our story.
I was kind of overrated, I guess.
I had two awesome segues, and you ruined both of them.
But that's I hate okay. myself. That's it. I'm going on mute for the next 6 minutes, starting.
But we're going to talk. We're going to talk about your favorite superhero ever, Batman.
Well, that didn't last long. That mute didn't last long. You mean the most overrated superhero ever? Actually, I should take it. He's not even a superhero. The most overrated hero ever. And anyone who says Batman's better than Superman is fooling themselves. You know, cooler, yes. But if you honestly talked to yourself and thought, if I could be a superhero, but I want to be Batman or Superman, you are a liar if you say you'd rather be Batman than Superman.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Yeah, because Superman can kill people and steal all the money and be just as rich as Bruce Wayne. So then what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Are you trying to tell me Superman, if you really wanted to, couldn't earn $1 billion income just being like, hey, so I'm going to be a boxer now.
Right. Place your bets.
Right, exactly. It's not like Superman could not earn a living.
Right. He could deliver all the Amazon packages.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Like in one day, like Santa Claus.
Yeah, you can just carry it all. God, no big deal. This goes here, this goes here, this goes there. Easy peasy. He can start it out of his own little farm in Kansas.
He can bet on the horse races, and he can get like all three. He can get the total trifecta. And what he does is he just runs around so fast behind them that he can push them.
Right.
Push like the horse's ass a little bit, just to inch it out a little bit ahead.
Right, yeah. And there's like 22 people who can do what Batman does. There's arguably, even if you wanted to expand it to the whole Superman family, there's like 3 people who could do what Superman does, and none of them as good as Superman, to where arguably there are people in the Bat family just as good at Bruce Wayne at being Batman, and that makes him unspecial. Wow. Send all your hate. I'm sure I'll hear it on Twitter, but just saying, Superman better than Batman.
There you go. And Batman is getting a new animated series, which is exciting. And we have J.J. Abrams and Bruce Timm and Matt Reeves to thank for that. I'm excited. They're calling it a powerhouse of directors. And by they, I mean The Hollywood Reporter.
So yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I think it's great. It kind of reminds me of kind of what Lucasfilm did with The Mandalorian. You know, they put Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and, you know, a couple directors into a room, and they created a amazing narrative within the Star Wars universe. So if these are all people who have a long standing history with creativity, you know, 2 of them have a big history with the Batman. Matt Reeves is directing the current Batman movie. Bruce Timm worked all the way back on the animated series and worked on all of these amazing DC animated films that we love because they're all so great. And Abrams, he knows a thing or two about storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. So it did get the series did get a straight to series order. It is called Batman Caped Crusader, and it'll be on HBO Max and the Cartoon Network. It's being billed as a reimagining of the Batman mythology. So there you have it. I'll take it.
Right. What do you think that means? That those just sound like really buzzy like words to like get people excited that mean absolutely nothing.
I think it means that we're gonna get to see Bruce's parents get killed again.
But reimagined in a
different way.
Yeah. We've always shown it from the perspective of the Waynes. This time it's from the perspective of the killer.
Yeah. So there you have it. I mean, I'll take it. I love the Batman animated series. I think it's great. It reminded me that blimps were a thing once, and people used them to travel places.
Dirigibles, way of the future.
Oh, but I love the animation. I love the noir aspect of it. I love that the cars looked really cool. I like that. Got to get them, see? And I think you can get away with a lot more cooler stuff when it is animated. And I'm ready. I'm on board. It is going to be a family show, so... I don't know if you're going to necessarily hear like the bone crunching sounds of faces being destroyed, but I do think it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Randy, this is right up your alley. You're a sucker for the noir, as we learned from last week's escape pod. But yes. Now instead of whatever Mason Dixon or whatever the guy's name was, I forgot.
Dixon Hill.
There you go, Dixon Hill. It's going to be Batman, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I love the 90s Batman animated series. I have a big affinity for it. I remember watching it after school, coming home as a kid. I especially remember the soundtrack being so similar to the 89 Batman score from Danny Elfman that I was always all over that. That was my first introduction to Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I think everybody's.
It was everybody's, yeah.
Yeah.
She was created for it.
Take it.
Right. It's made a gamma. It's like I was made for this.
Right. So there are already a ton, as David mentioned, there are actually a ton of DC animated films on HBO right now. So if you have HBO Max, you can definitely check all those out. One of my favorites is The Flashpoint Paradox. I think that movie's fucking awesome. And I also like... Assault on Arkham. I think that one's a lot of fun, too. So check those out when you get a chance. And then, I haven't really talked about it on this show, but there is the Batman 66 animated movies, too, that are actually a lot of fun, too. It's in the vein of the Batman 1966, and it's just animated. It's a lot of fun, and you should check them out if you haven't already.
Are those voiced by Burt Ward and Adam West?
Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. It's good stuff. So
that show, Randy, was remember at Comic-Con the one year where we accidentally crashed that one thing with Adam West? the one interview we crashed, yes. That was for that 66 animated thing.
Oh, shit. Okay, I didn't realize. Yeah. Yes, that's awesome. We were so close to getting that interview.
Shook his hand. I said, Randy, And Randy started rolling, and then Gary was like, whoa, who the fuck are you guys?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I've got him on film for like 30 seconds.
And then Adam West is like, I'll do it. I'm here. And he's like, no, these fucking guys.
Get out of here. Yeah.
These Geek Legacy guys, you can't trust them.
Yeah. I did get to ask him a question in that group interview, so that was cool. Because they were releasing the animated, or not the animated series, but the whole series on Blu-ray and DVD from the 66 Batman. So that was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you know, it was me, Brett, and Felix, and Corey. We watched the 1966 Batman movie the night he died. And we woke up to the news that he passed away that next day. Isn't that crazy when the universe just does that? When you just watch a movie and then the actor that's in it just happens to pass away either that same day or the next day?
Has it happened more than once to you?
No, it's just I feel like it's happened to multiple people, but it just happened to have happened for me with Adam West. I feel like that's happened.
Did Gypsy curse your house when you were growing up or anything?
I know, it's so sad. Oh man, but I mean, I'm sure that there was someone that watched a Harry Potter movie the day before or the day that Alan Rickman passed away, or you know, maybe someone was listening to David Bowie before he passed away, or even fucking Prince. I mean, I that can't be that incredible of a coincidence. I'm sure that happens all the time. It just happened to me, and it was sad, especially since he was my Batman for so long. Yeah. I was like, no, oh my God, I'm heartbroken, and it was sad.
God, no. And by all accounts, he was just a genuinely good guy, too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, from our limited interaction with him, I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, he did Family Guy for years, so I mean,
yeah,
he's definitely like a laid-back, cool dude.
Yeah.
He should call, because Ralph Garman's a big fan, right? So he talked to him on K-Rock. So I mean, you don't do that shit unless you're just, you know, approachable, I think.
Right. Yeah, Ralph Garman was always trying to get him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and yeah.
Yeah, some good stuff.
That's unfortunate of his passing.
It is.
It's very sad. Justin's bringing it about.
Sorry. You asked if I had complaints earlier. That's one of them. Adam West is gone. and it's
valid. It's a valid complaint. No one will blame you for that complaint.
Yes.
I concur.
And speaking of complaints, a lot of G.I. Joe fans are complaining these days because we did get a Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins trailer the other day. The film is coming out on July 23rd, and it focuses around a lot of people's favorite Joe, and that, of course, is Snake Eyes. A very revealing Snake Eyes. He has a helmet in a hand instead of on his head on the poster. So people are getting a pretty good look at this guy. As someone that has always been shrouded in mystery and intrigue, we are up close and personal with Mr. Snake Eyes in this movie.
So why is it that people are so upset about this movie?
Because they're weird. People like to bitch and moan about things.
all I've heard is negativity around it. I didn't watch the trailer, and I'm not the biggest G.I. Joe fan. But I haven't heard anything really positive about it, and I'm really curious.
Right. So arguably the trailer's not great. I mean it's fine for what it is, but like this does not look like a tentpole movie that you want to run out and see. And a lot of people are complaining because, you know, Snake Eyes is that, you know, the mute, you know, ninja with that mask and the helmet. And this story takes place before all of that. This takes place, you know, in different G.I. Joe lore, there are different reasons why Snake Eyes doesn't talk. Be it he gets an injury, he takes a vow of silence, this or that. But all of that happens, you know, either at the tail end or during his, like, training and stuff like that. So this movie obviously takes place before that, and people just can't wrap their head around the timeline that he was not born a mute; he became a mute. And you know, this isn't a G.I. Joe movie; it's a movie about a character from G.I. Joe before he joins G.I. Joe, and people just want a G.I. Joe movie. And there, and it's residual hate because no one is happy with how the figures are rolling out, and how they can't find it, and people are buying like 100 of them and stuff like that. So. It's just a bad time to be a G.I. Joe fan.
Right. The day the trailer dropped, I was able to look at each and every character available on Amazon for retail price, which was like $19.99. I didn't buy any, but they were available. But back to Snake Eyes, you know, Henry Golding is the actor that's playing Snake Eyes, and definitely is an uphill battle. Storm Shadow is in this movie. Andrew Koji is playing Storm Shadow. And I think it would be fucking badass if in their final fight, Storm Shadow just turns Snake Eyes into a fucking Pez dispenser and slits his throat so fucking bad that's why he doesn't talk. I think that would be so cool going forward.
So he doesn't talk, so he's basically the Bumblebee of the G.I. Joe universe.
I mean, he might just not have anything to say. He might just be like, you know, I'm better than you. You're not worth my time.
He never speaks in the show. But, yeah, in the show, I think the reason is Storm Shadow went to kill their master or something like that, and Snake Eyes got in the way, and it didn't slit his throat, but it cut his throat in a way that cut his vocal cords because it's a show made for kids. I mean, we don't have the science may not be there, but at the core, G.I. Joe is made for 11-year-olds. We don't need to gussy this up. It's the same conversation we have with Star Wars that sometimes things are just the way they are because kids.
Right, and that's fair. But I want it to be he's got to catch the blood and put it back in his throat because it's bleeding so bad. Yeah.
He's got to drink it. To freeze it.
He's got to catch it and drink it so it goes back in his body.
He's got to keep drinking it the whole time.
He's got to be like the guy in Saving Private Ryan who's trying to stuff his intestines back into his.
Dude, that's hard. That's so hard to watch. I hate that scene. That whole beginning just breaks my heart. I hate it. But there are, you mentioned, it's not a G.I. Joe movie. We are getting Scarlet's going to be in it, Baroness. I mentioned Storm Shadow. Those are the only people that I notice right off the bat, but I fucking love Baroness. I think she's just such a badass. She was like one of my first celebrity crushes, and I'm excited to see a Baroness on screen. But I'm going into this movie with very low expectations, and maybe I'll even enjoy it because I enjoy the first G.I. Joe movie. The second one I wasn't really into, but I am prepared to go see this movie and hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah, the first movie had Sienna Miller as the Baroness, and it had Ray Park as Snake Eyes. I mean, Ray Park as Snake Eyes is pretty cool. That's a pretty big win right there for me.
Absolutely.
So I would not be sad to see Ray Park come back as Snake Eyes. But
and Joseph Gordon-Levitt ended up being Cobra Commander, and Raymond Calitri was fucking Destro.
Yeah. We just need to get Dr. Mindbender in this party, and you're set, Justin.
Oh, man, I know. I love the Dr. Mindbender.
Love the evil scientist.
I know. It's terrible. He's the shockwave of the G.I. Joe universe. He's got a monocle and everything.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's not even pretending to not be a psychopath.
I know. He's just got the twirly mustache. He's got the monocle. He just exudes villain, and I love it. So great.
Even deep down, Cobra is afraid of him.
Oh man, this fucking guy. I need something. But, yeah, exactly. Oh man, he's hardcore.
I think we can all agree that we're hoping that when the Cobra people talk, that they any word that ends in S, they make sure to accentuate as a hiss.
Yeah, now we're talking. I'll take it.
We're an 80s cartoons fund.
They were the best.
Oh, man. I just saw that Mask was on. I think it's on Prime.
Yeah.
And I decided I was going to try to watch a few episodes of it to relive my childhood because I remember really, really enjoying it.
Well, I bet that went well.
Oh, it was very similar to my experience when I was trying to watch the Ghostbusters animated series. I loved it as a kid. Absolutely loved it. Man, it's hard watching as an adult. I just couldn't do it.
So you're saying we should stop watching Star Trek and start watching Mask?
No. Only if something weird compels me to start collecting the toys again or something like that. Because that was a seriously cool toy line. It was not, at least the first episode or two were not particularly great.
Yeah, I had that experience with Voltron. Voltron Defender of the Universe or whatever. It was available on Prime or Netflix or something at some point, and I just was not into it. And then I got like 7 or 8 episodes, but I had to stop. And then when Netflix did that new Voltron, I thought it was pretty cool. I was digging it. But there's something to be said about just that era of animation and just kids' dialogue, and maybe it's not even translated properly, or it sounds even remotely interesting. But it was a chore, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I tried a while ago to watch, kind of go back and watch Voltron, and same thing. I don't even know how many episodes I got, but it probably wasn't that many. But I did find out that, you know, Bandai, where Justin and I work, they used to have an office right down the street from me on Catella. And the building, that building was actually designed by the creator, the designer of the Lion Voltron.
Sweet.
Yeah. Now I really wish you worked there.
Yeah, the more you know. I feel like Thundercats was like that too. That show was so crazy, like with the snarf, you know, it's so annoying. And Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat just being jacks for like 22 minutes. Just like, oh my God. And then like Chitara's like, oh, Lion-O. He was like, oh my God. Stop it. It's terrible.
Yeah, the best Thundercats is the robot chicken Thundercats. Just,
yeah. And then Bill Cosby's
like living with Bill Cosby's Lion-O in a trailer.
Oh yeah, totally. On the Cosby Show, the actor that played Bill Cosby's dad, he is the voice of Panthro? I don't know what his name is.
I think it was Panthro.
Thundercats. Yeah, let me see what his name is. Old plays, Google machine. Panthro, yeah.
Panthro.
Yeah, Earl Hyman. Yeah, he was good people. Anyway, Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
But not the Animated Series. It's Batman, what do they call it? The Cape Crusader? Batman Cape Crusader. Thundercats are on the move. Loose. Sword of Omens? Is that what his sword is called?
And that, they have been... the Sword of Omens. Give me sight beyond sight.
Whatever that means. Give me glasses.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't say if Kevin Conroy is returning as Batman, right? We haven't confirmed that.
That is correct. I don't think they've made any casting announcements. He is a good Batman.
Not yet.
Yeah. Anywho. What else were we going to talk about? Bad Batch? Oh yeah, we were on Snake Eyes. Yeah, so Snake Eyes comes out this summer. I think it was July 23rd. I forgot the date. I closed out all my information, but I'm gonna go see it. I'm excited. We'll make it happen, Captain. And then fucking Bad Batch. We are now what, episode 3 in at the time of this recording?
Yeah, episode 3.
Alright. I'm on board. It did have a dark moment when Crosshair, whatever his name is. So now the Imperials are recruiting. They're getting new recruits. This is fucking Police Academy style, and they're getting people to actively join the Empire, and that's terrifying because they're not necessarily being told to do it. They actually want to support the Empire, which I thought was an interesting way of putting that. And you know, they're enlisting basically, and then they had to have that moral choice where they had that basically like a firing squad. And that was hard. That was hardcore for an animated show. I was like, holy shit, dude. This brings us up to 11.
Always hear like women, old people, and children. You know, these aren't insurgents. And then Crosshair's like, follow your fucking orders, dude. And when kind of the leader of the recruits doesn't, he just fucking offs the guy right there in front of the other troopers. Like, anyone else want to disobey the orders?
Yeah. Tell your friends what you saw here.
Exactly. Yeah. And they just unload and kill everybody there.
That was nuts.
It went up with a flamethrower. Super dark.
Yeah, what a fucking flamethrower, dude. Holy shit. That is nuts.
Yeah. Because going into it, I think the question was, are they going to redeem Crosshair? And I guess the answer is no. I don't know if there's coming back from that.
Yeah, last week I feel like we had that conversation. Like, yeah, he'll turn around, he'll do something, you know, he'll have his moment. I think you said a come to Jesus moment, Dave, I think was your phrasing. And I think if he saw Jesus, he would just fucking shoot him on the cross.
Jesus would be, don't blame me, don't bring me into this shit.
Well, I think in a way it's kind of symbolic too, because they showed that shot of Crosshair sitting alone in his bunk, you know, and then seeing all the other new recruits taking over the other bunks of the Bad Batch, and then simultaneously in their ship, the rest of the Bad Bunch Bad Batch crew make a bunk for the girl Omega. So it's kind of like symbolically they're making her officially their fifth. And while that's happening, you know, we see that Crosshair has replaced that gang with his new gang of recruits.
Yeah. I really liked how they made a bunk for her. I thought that was great. Yeah. And they even made it, you know, they had like the little hangy things and they made it like a kid's room where it was the happening place to be, where she has her own little private space. And I like that.
But it totally looks like it's a gun turret because you can see like, it looks like there's a gunner chair and like a big like a round window behind her. It's like if she gets bored, she can just sit there and pop off shots.
Yeah, shoot some cans. Yeah. Space cans.
Yeah. Space cans. I really like the relationship between Wrecker and Omega, you know, just being that big dumb idiot and, you know, full of love and happy and just, you know, welcoming her onto the team and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited to see where this goes. I know that I was a little bored at first, but I think that the execution scene was the tipping point for me. And then I think the adopting of Omega, is that her name? Omega?
Yeah.
In the gang, I thought was pretty great. And I liked how she had her own room and I like how they're all trying to make it work. I think that that episode was what I needed to continue to want to watch the show.
Right. I'm not irritated with Omega yet. You know, she's transitioning well from damsel in distress to I can be a valuable member of this team at times.
Right. She saved Rambo at some point in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, going down into the but putting the respirator back on his mouth and then following that critter down into its cave to get the little power converter or whatever.
Yeah, that was cool. Reminded me of like Pitch Black or something like that. It was kind of weird.
Yeah,
like,
what's
happening right now?
What a dumb kid! Doesn't know she can get those Itachi stations.
It was a cross between that and like the Minox scene inside
totally.
Space Slug and Empire. Yeah,
100%. Especially with those
respirators they were wearing. Yeah,
yeah. No, that was cool. And they knew that there was something out there. You know, like what the hell are you doing with it?
The animation was really good because you could see like the respirator fogging up when they were breathing and everything. And I know that's a super little detail, but that's just one of those things that just makes it that much more realistic.
It's always funny because like when you have to wear a mask like that, yours is the one that's fogging up and everyone else's is fine. Like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I the asshole with the foggy mask?
Why do I have defective mask technology? Everyone else is fine.
I mean, that could have been a gag that everyone could relate to. Like, why is mine fogging up?
I was having a conversation today with someone who wears glasses and, you know, the mask and how it fogs up. And I was just watching, like, every time it would fog up, he'd clean it off, put it back on his face, and, like, within, like, 2 seconds, it was fogged up again. And I'm like, why are you even wasting your time?
Yeah, if you're able to, I learned this, if you're able to, like, pinch the bridge on your nose with the mask, then that'll cut down on the fogginess of your glasses.
Yeah, and you put the glasses over the bridge of the nose.
Yeah.
Makes a difference. Yeah, I find that if I kind of put glasses like further closer to the tip of my nose than I normally would, you know?
Like an old lady librarian.
A little bit. Not quite that much. But
the chain on your glasses too.
Mask is all the way up and pinched. And then the glasses are a little bit closer to the tip of my nose that they don't fog up.
You wear glasses?
I'm talking about sunglasses when I'm driving. If I have a car full of people and I need to wear a mask while I'm driving.
I was about to be really embarrassed, Randy. I'm like, I've known this man for almost 20 years. And if I know that you wore fucking glasses, I was going to be mad at myself.
No, not yet. Soon enough, when I eventually get myself to an optometrist, I'm sure I'm going to wear glasses. And then I've got my computer glasses here. Cut down the blue light.
Like blue blockers.
Blue blockers.
You guys remember that fucking shit on Santa Monica Pier?
Anybody over the age of like 30 or 35 who ever didn't have cable for a short period of time in their life and had to watch TV after midnight will remember the infomercials for blue blockers. And then there's the guy that was doing like his improv like rap.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn it! Now I gotta see if that shit's on YouTube now.
Get yourself a blue blocker today or something like that.
Well, God willing, we won't have to wear masks much longer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but oh, here. Oh, my God. I found the commercial.
That didn't take long.
Yeah, dude's wearing a big old sombrero, and oh, this is great. We might have to include this in the description of the podcast so everybody else can watch it too.
Yeah, George Lucas gonna sue somebody. Oh man, those glasses, they were great. My goodness. I feel like that's all that I had. Did you have a list, Dave?
I didn't really find a good list that I liked. It was just kind of a bunch of meh lists, and I was kind of sad.
Well, I have one more thing for us to talk about before we all part ways.
Do you?
Did you guys hear what happened to Dave Filoni?
He got a not promotion.
Yeah, we talked about it before he joined.
He got promoted to the same job he's had for the last year. He just updated the website.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Executive creative director or something like that?
And all sorts of butthurt fanboys and girls, I guess, fan people are saying, okay, yeah, but is everybody going to yell at him like they've been yelling at Kathleen Kennedy for the last 5 years?
I mean, fuck, they could if it's no good.
I guess my question would be like why?
Yeah,
right.
As far as I'm concerned,
he's got a good track record.
Yeah, there's a million people at Lucasfilm that aren't getting shit on every day, you know. Unfortunately, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know, people are upset with the direction that Lucasfilm is going. The president of Lucasfilm is going to hear from it. Just like Michael Eisner, when Disney was going in a direction people didn't like, Michael Eisner took the hit. Or, you know, the buck stops here. That's why CEOs and stuff like that, they're always the most scrutinized people within the company. You know, they're often compensated handsomely for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're upset with the direction of Lucasfilm, you can be either disgruntled with Lucasfilm as a whole, or you can direct your ire towards the person at the top of the food chain. It doesn't make sense to you know, shoot your daggers at, like, people, you know, below that person. You know, aim high. Aim for the stars, you know. Aim for the moon. You might hit the stars, whatever. But, you know, just as much as we're not going to yell at, you know, craft service guy number four, you know. Filoni has had a high-ranking position at Lucasfilm forever, and if they want to make it a sexist thing, you know, I think that Pablo Hidalgo has taken a tremendous amount of hate, you know, for, you know, actions that he took both towards the fandom, you know, when he berated, you know, Star Wars Theory for being emotional that Luke Skywalker returned to the Mandalorian, or, you know, some of the decisions that he's made directing his portion of the story group, so... I don't know what these people are talking about. You know, people bitch at Kathleen Kennedy because she's the head of Lucasfilm, not because she is a woman. I should take that back. Rational people complain to Kathleen Kennedy because she's the head of Lucasfilm, not because she's a woman. I'm sure there are a bunch of assholes out there who hate her because she's a woman in charge of Lucasfilm. That's a totally different issue.
There are multiple YouTube channels dedicated to that. I won't say their names because I'm so irritated with these people, but they are out there and they are horrible.
Yes. I am trying not to resume my fight with one of them, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? When you're in charge, you get too much blame and too much credit. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. You know, take the Mandalorian, you know, Dave Filoni was the, you know, the quote unquote top of the food chain for Mandalorian. So he gets the lion's share of credit because people like it. You know, but a whole host of people made the decisions that made this show amazing, including Kathleen Kennedy. You know, she could have just said, no, I don't want to make this fucking show. It's not like Favreau and Filoni would have been able to go around her to make the Mandalorian without her blessing. You know, so many people go into making these decisions. And if you want to direct your ire at one person, you usually direct it at, you know, just like people who are upset with the government are going to bitch about Biden. You know, they're not going to bitch about their local city councilman. You know, they're going to go right to the top.
Right. Or the people that are in the House or the Senate that are just refusing to do anything even remotely constructive. They're the real villains.
Those people. I saw a real fun TikTok. It was a guy. He started his thing talking about how Biden's not the president and Trump's the president, and then he went on to bitch about how
the guy that was looking down at his phone, that guy, like that heavyset fella.
It might have been, but then he was bitching about like Biden causing all these increases in gas prices. And he's like, "Well, how did he do that? Well, he's the president, and it's his responsibility." Well, you just said he wasn't the president, so
pick up your melons, dude. 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, 1.5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
It is a fun. It's a fun time to be around. It's definitely not boring.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple weeks ago where you were saying how you hated how people would just waste so much energy on their YouTube channels of just spouting out toxic things and comments and just sort of kicking the beehive or poking the bear, as it were, when you know, they're the ones that are getting all this notoriety, whereas the people that are trying to spread the good messages are the ones that are just getting buried in all the hate. And that's sad. It breaks my heart.
It is. And then I didn't – usually I have a wristband on my hand that says WWJD, and it's what would Justin do? But I wasn't wearing it on that night, so and I didn't follow my own advice. So
yeah, don't do that.
So if anyone was around looking at Bandai Dave's Twitter feed at like 1 o'clock in the morning a couple days ago, you would have seen some spicy tweets.
It happens. It's the late night in you. You just, you know, you get comfortable, and then you just start tweeting.
Yeah,
and that's how you do. It's
only the second person that's gotten me just to the point where I had to say something. And, you know, the first time I knew it was a mistake as well, but sometimes she bugs me too.
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen. Anyway, no more coded talk. We're done. No list?
No list. I'm sorry. I'll have 2 lists next week to make up for it.
Oh, man. What was last week's? Like sitcoms?
We had a couple last week. We had the sitcom one, and then we also had a list because we started talking about like series finales. So we had a top series finale list.
Oh, shit. I don't remember that. I wanted to do an ensemble cast, but we ended up talking about all of our favorite movies in the middle of that conversation. So it didn't work out. We made our own list.
Right. Yeah, we created our own list. It was basically all Tarantino films, all PTA films, Ocean's 11.
Right. Oh, I know. We don't have to talk about this for very long, but this week, yesterday, at the time of this recording, was the 22-year anniversary of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which I can remember, at least I know that all three of us were very, very excited the day that that movie came out. We got all kinds of cool lightsaber action. We got to see them cut through doors. That was a new concept, and I remember thinking that was just the coolest goddamn thing. How come I didn't think of that? We did get to see a double-bladed lightsaber for the first time, pod racing for the first time. There was just a lot of really cool shit that I know that the movie gets a lot of hate and a lot of people are frustrated with, like, Jake Lloyd's character as Anakin, and he does have a lot of cheesy lines, and Jar Jar, of course, but I mean, here we are 22 years later, and I can watch Episode I right now and enjoy the shit out of it. I don't know when that happened or how that the metamorphosis that took place, but I could literally pop it on right now and enjoy it from start to finish. And I don't know how you guys are on that, but it is definitely not my least favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I'm a defender of the prequels, and I think that there is a lot going on in Episode I that is good. I think that arguably one of the best moments in Star Wars is the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan Darth Maul fight. I think that is hands down. You know, we did the list of top lightsaber fights, and that was number one. And I don't disagree with that at all. It's got a killer score. John Williams really outdid himself in the prequels, creating a unique theme for each of the three movies. You know, between Duel of the Fates, Cross the Stars, and Battle of the Heroes. And I think it's incredible. As an expanded universe nerd, as everyone knows, I got to see a lot of things that I'd read about in books that I didn't think I'd ever get to see. I got to see Coruscant, a city of planets. I got to see the Jedi Order, you know, at their height in the Jedi Council. I got to see the Senate Chamber. So I threw the Senate at them, the whole Senate, no joke. yeah. You know, I got to see all of these things that I wanted to see.
Aura Singh, is that her name? The bounty hunter chick?
Yeah, she's
What is her name?
Aura Singh.
Aura Singh. Yeah. Okay, I was right. Okay.
She I think it's Beckett from Solo kills her. I think that's who they said.
Yeah.
he didn't kill her. The fall killed her, or the landing killed her.
No, there you go.
That's right. Yeah. She's so important. She gets name dropped. Her and Bosk, they both get name dropped in that same sentence. I like episode one, and the Jake Lloyd of it. You know, it's kind of silly, but you know, it's made that some of it's made for kids. And you know, I get that people are like, oh, let's try spinning. That's a good trick. But no one can deny the prequel's greatest contribution to society, the memes. The memes are strong in the prequels. There are so many of them. They're innumerable. And I'm here for, like, all of them.
Absolutely. And I can't believe that there's still ones that we haven't seen, and there's new ones every day. And they're so fucking funny, man. People are so clever. I'm jealous. Literally jealous of how funny these people are.
Yeah, and they go in such great waves. There was a time where for like 6 months, like every meme was about Palpatine being the I am the Senate. And then there's so many like hello there memes. And then now there's the sand memes. And now the meme that's really, really kicking up steam that I laugh at every time. It's from the end of episode one, and it's when Anakin and Obi-Wan are watching Qui-Gon's body burn, and it's they make up words for it. And it's like one of them is that I just posted recently was like, it's Anakin saying like, when I die, will you set me on fire? And it's Obi-Wan's like, no, you'll be alive when it happens. And there's another one where there's no dialogue. They're just looking at it. And then Obi-Wan turns to Anakin. And he's like, that's going to be you twice. Oh man, I love it so much. But I'm sorry, I talked a lot.
That's fine. What about you, Randy? Where are you at with episode one?
I love it, and I'll watch it virtually anytime. The only one of the prequel movies that I really it doesn't rank as high on my list of rewatchability is probably episode two. I can watch one and three pretty much repeatedly, but I don't know. The more time passes, the more I kind of soften towards all things Star Wars. So I'll probably grow to love episode two, but right now that's also my lowest ranking movie of the saga. So
a lot of episode two's running time is spent explaining things to you that they could show us, you know, like we joked about the whole, you know, Dexter type, you know, thing where he's basically explaining all of this, and they go to the Jedi Council, and then it's Yoda explaining shit to us, and they go to Kamino, and the Kaminoans are explaining things to us. It's a lot of been led by the nose, because you know at the last, like I'd say like 45 minutes of the movie really, really hums. Once Obi-Wan goes and confronts Jango Fett on Kamino, you know, follows him to Geonosis, and then we have, you know, obviously the Battle of Geonosis, we have the lightsaber fights, we have the reveal of the Grand Army of the Republic. The last 45 minutes of Attack of the Clones really hums, and a lot of the stuff before is not good, especially like the Anakin Padme on feed stuff.
Oh yeah, that's brutal.
I
don't even like the. I forgot that it was even a thing. I don't even like the chase scene on Coruscant where they're going after the shapeshifter bounty hunter.
Sam Whistle?
Yeah. Yeah, that whole chase scene just does nothing for me. I'm so bored. It's so long, and I get nothing from it. I'm just like, okay, get out of here. The only part I like is the Death Stick guy.
Yeah, there's two good parts. It's the Death Stick, and then the scene where Obi-Wan just leaps out of the apartment and grabs onto that droid thing. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, he likes to party, man. He's
not fucking around.
I know, and I really hate how he just gets just destroyed by Dooku. I really want Obi-Wan to just be a badass all the time. And even at the beginning of episode three, it kind of sucks too when he just gets the stares on him. But he's able to take down Grievous. And, you know, he has defeated Maul, which is great. And he does defeat Anakin. So, I mean, he's got the chops. It's just lame that they just kind of do him dirty sometimes.
Well, it comes to the same thing like we were saying with Superman. You know, it's like we can't show him winning every time because then he'll be too powerful.
Yeah, but I like it when he wins every time.
But it's only Dooku's got his number. I mean, early on he beats Maul, like you said. You know, really the only one who beats him is Dooku.
Yeah, it's so weird, and he's old.
He's just got his number, you know. Sometimes when like you see like fighters in like boxing or UFC or wrestling,
yeah,
there's one specific guy who's just got your number.
And yeah, get me
in this
head.
Case, it's Dooku.
You know what it is? I think it's because Obi-Wan has too much respect for his elders. So it's like he refuses to go full speed. Like he doesn't want to hurt the guy.
Yeah, maybe.
But he lets his guard down in the process.
But Qui-Gon was a Padawan to Dooku, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think they're canon novels because they're linked directly to episode 3. You know, you really get to know that Dooku just utterly hates Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is kind of like the focus of his hatred for the Jedi because he's the, other than Dooku, he feels that he's the one closest to Qui-Gon. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that maybe factors in. Maybe Dooku fights just a little bit harder against Obi-Wan. But, yeah, I'm with you. I wish that Obi-Wan had got his comeuppance.
Mm-hmm. Could it be that just because Dooku is, you know, he's technically a Sith, right? Like he's working with Palpatine. Like maybe it's just the inexperience in dealing with that kind of energy and power and that kind of enemy, I guess. I don't know. If just the you can kill droids all day long and you can fight all these other creatures that aren't Force users and stuff, but I feel like that Dooku brings something more to the table. He's got lightning shit. He's been like a fencer of sorts. You know, he has like this swordsmanship about him that maybe he's just outclassed this time.
Yeah, it could be because I mean he's a different kind of animal than like a Maul. So I mean Obi-Wan's got the distinction of being the first Jedi to defeat a Sith in 1,000 years.
Right.
And so I mean that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big dick waving moment for Obi-Wan Kenobi. But I mean Maul was just like pure like ferocity.
Yeah.
To where Dooku's a little more like thinking man, to where I could see a scenario where Obi-Wan gets overconfident thinking like, oh, the Sith just fight with their emotion, and then he encounters Dooku, who's a more elegant fighter, and he gets thrown off. But then by the time you get to episode 3, at that point he's fought, you know, Ventress and Dooku and Grievous and all these other people, to where he should have been ready for Dooku in episode 3. And I get, you know, from a story perspective, they wanted to give Anakin, you know, they wanted Anakin to do what he did, and they needed to incapacitate Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan would have stopped him or been horrified at what he saw. So it's unfortunate that led to Obi-Wan having to be kind of taken out early.
Do you you mentioned Ventress? Do you guys think that we'll ever get a live action version of Ventress?
I 100% think we will.
Yeah, I think between all the different Star Wars shows out there, and I don't know if we've definitively ever seen her death. I think like when the Clone Wars kind of like wrote off her character, or was it Rebels? I don't remember. It was more or less like she just kind of like rode off into the sunset, more or less. Does that sound right? Am I remembering that?
There's a comic series that I guess now is technically Legends comics to where she finally like just decides, says fuck it, and she like takes off. So yeah, she never does die in canon. And I think that, yeah, I 3 years ago I would have said we'll never see Ventress in live action, but I mean we just saw Ahsoka, you know, we've seen Bo-Katan, we've seen all these people that I would have never thought that they would bring into existence. You know, a Ventress is not a Filoni creation, but he did use her heavily in his version of the Clone Wars. I think there's definitely a slot for her. It would be really cool to see her, you know, in like an Ahsoka season where she's just like this old ex, you know, dark lady.
So just Googling Ventress, it says Ventress reluctantly helped Voss and Dooku in fleeing from the Jedi pursuit, but refused to embrace the dark side once more. Instead, she sacrificed herself when Dooku attempted to kill Voss with Force lightning by absorbing the blast to protect her lover.
Well, never mind. I stand corrected. Apparently, she's dead.
I feel like I don't remember that she and Quinlan Voss were hooking up. I should have known that. I was reading the comics.
I don't remember.
Apparently, I didn't read far enough.
Yeah.
Did you even read it, Randy?
There was a certain point when I stopped reading Legacy, so I guess that could be it.
Well, there was one. It wasn't called Onslaught. It was called something, and it was basically like Obi-Wan had to like fight like everybody. Like they brought back like Dirge from like the Clone Wars TV show. They brought back Ventress. They had Dooku. They had Grievous, and it was basically like him versus like everyone who's ever had a dark side lightsaber. And I remember he he came out alive, and he could convince Ventress that they were just going to sacrifice her, and that she kind of got on a ship and took off. But apparently, Wikipedia says I'm full of shit, and they're not the first people to say that.
Yeah. Sorry. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I dig her. I like it when her little, because she has little curvy blades too, and when she connects them together, I think that's pretty badass.
Yeah, because her hilt is kind of like S shaped or like kind of like lightning bolt shaped. Yeah.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
And I'm always a fan of someone with two sabers. I just think that's cooler.
And all she wanted was some respect from Count Dooku. Was that so hard, Dooku? Why can't you love?
No, is she one of those sisters? Like, she's kind of
a Night Sister. Yeah, yes, I believe she is. I'm almost certain of it because in the mobile games, Galaxy of Heroes, that I used to play, she got like a power up when she was with other Night Sisters. So, and they're all from Dathomir.
Yeah, that's where she's from. Yeah, it's homeworld Dathomir.
I suspect that she. Like with Mother Talzin or whatever her name is, and then all the Night Sisters, that they're all from the same group, the same race.
Yeah, Ventress was born into a clan of Force-sensitive Night Sister witches led by Mother Talzin on the planet Dathomir. Wow, good job, Randy.
And Dathomir is the only planet that Palpatine refused to ever return to because he was afraid of the Night Sisters.
The only wizard he ever feared.
Yep.
Wow.
Rancors are also from Dathomir. So,
shit. Don't go to Dathomir.
It's got dicey. It's got Night Sisters and Rancors.
Yeah, that's a big pass. Just skip that destination.
Yeah, skipping, skipping, skipping.
Was that a planet that you went to in Force Unleashed? Because I remember fighting Rancors and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, that's where you go there, and then you fight, what was the Barda or the Mara Barda or something like that? The chick who had like the nightsticks?
Yeah, like the police baton lightsaber kind of. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. I beat that game like four or five times.
And that's where Han Solo takes Princess Leia in the courtship of Princess Leia when he kidnaps her. And the Falcon breaks down on Dathomir and they're like, this is probably not a place we wanted to break down in.
Yeah.
Roll them up.
They need that beaming technology.
They do.
Not there yet.
Nope. Not there yet.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that is it.
Sweet.
Are we done?
Done.
I think so.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember, this is episode 348. For those of you keeping score, be sure to check out the Escape Pod that we're doing, talking about Star Trek. It's a lot of fun. Randy's a terrific host and loves talking about the Star Treks, and definitely check it out, especially now since we're only episode 12. You can catch up. It's easy to catch up. It's not like One Piece with 1,000 episodes. We're not quite there yet, one of these days. And then we also have, of course, the Don't Be Crazy podcast, hosted by Mr. Zachary Rancourt, talk about all kinds of fun and festive movies and what makes them amazing or if they're just pure rubbish. And I wish I could tell you. Oh, Blade was the movie that we just did. A lot of fun. And that was episode 99, coming up on episode 100. Very excited about that. So congratulations. Don't be crazy on that. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, get your shots, and you keep rock and rolling, baby. Thank you so much.